43 of Genesis. 43. If you don't know where the Genesis is, it's located in the first book of the Old Testament, way on the left side. If you find the index, you went too far. Grace is something you never get, but only be given. It's not something you can earn or we deserve. Crucial point of a Christian faith is our understanding that we cannot be saved by anything other than grace alone. There's nothing we can do to earn it or deserve it, as I said before. However, there's one catch. Of course, there's one catch. This gift, just like any other gift, it requires for us to reach out and take it. If we choose not to take it, it will not be given to us. It will not be shoved down to our throat. So if we choose to receive God's grace, it can remove the fear from our heart. Remember that, because that's the key point. Grace of God that removes the fear in our heart. This chapter, we find Joseph and the brothers dealing with each other. They've been away from each other for about 22-some years. Now, Joseph is a man of integrity. However, in this chapter, we find him much more like a Christ Jesus who is dispensing the grace of God to his brothers. What he's done, what was given to him was a mistreatment from these brothers. Yet instead of paying back with evil for evil, but he's paying back evil with the grace and love. We'll start at the verse 1 and we will pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up our study to you. And we are asking your Holy Spirit be upon us and speak to our heart, not from the man's mouth, from the mouth of God. And we also lift up the men who went up to the men's conference up in Prescott. We're asking for your traveling mercy and let them come back to you to be refreshed by your word and be strengthened by your word. And we also pray for our troops around the world. Keep them safe, especially nowadays with the Thanksgiving around the corner and the Christmas. And there will be a lot of homesick. Strengthen their heart. And during this difficult time, let your Holy Spirit be so real to them and they may come to know Jesus or be encouraged by you. And we also pray for the law enforcement and the firefighters around these communities. And we're thanking you for them. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. Now the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought from Egypt, and that their father said to them, go back, buy us a little food. Perhaps Jacob was the kind of thinking that we have a food, maybe this will tide us over until famine is over. That was his prayer. And the famine is continuing. And he was upset with God, becoming bitter and resent to God because God is not stopping this famine. God should listen to Jacob's prayer and then stop it so that he doesn't have to send his loving son Benjamin to Egypt. However, he's forgetting one thing. Simeon, who ends up in the prison in Egypt. He's willing to give up the Simeon for the sake of Benjamin. Sometimes God does not listen to our prayer because he sees the entire picture and he sees what is good for us. And I'm so glad that God did not listen to every prayer that I asked him. If he did that, I would be in disaster. So if you are asking God for something that God is not giving it to you, be grateful that he's not answering your prayer the way you want. Because we do not know everything, but he does. Knowing God's heart, let me rephrase that. Not knowing God's heart, but still obedient, that is showing the maturity of an individual Christian. See, Jacob cared about the Benjamin so much that he was willing to sacrifice another son, Simeon, and let him rot in the prison of Egypt. Folks, parents, listen carefully, please. You have children in your home, and you particularly like one of them or a couple of them, and you don't like the other one because the other one tend to polishing the devil's horn on his head, and the other one shining his halo around his head. That doesn't give you any excuse that you give him partiality. If you have a partiality within your children, you will have a lot of problem. A lot of problem down the road. You may not see it now, but you will. I guarantee you that. Do not have a partiality, please. Let's continue in verse 3. Now, but Judah spoke to him, saying, "The man solemnly warned us, saying that you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For man said to us, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you.' And Israel said, 'Why did you deal so wrongfully with him as to tell the man whether you had still another brother?' But they said that the man asked us pointedly about ourselves and our family, and saying, 'Is your father still alive? Have you another brother?' And we told him, 'According to this word, could we possibly have known that he would have said, "Bring your brother down"?' Then the Judah said to Israel, his father, 'Send the lad with me. We will arise and go, and we may live and not die, both we and you, and also our little ones. I myself will be surety for him. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you, send him before you, and let me bear the blame forever. For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned this second time.'" Instead of dealing with the real issue, Jacob is blaming his sons for telling the truth. True to his character, he rather tell the deception to this Egyptian official. This time, Judah is coming forward doing something good. This is the first time he's doing something good. Last time when we saw, he was the initiation. He made a proposal to sell his brother Joseph to the Ishmaelite slave traders. And also, he's the one who did wrong to his daughter-in-law, Tamar, and he thought she was a prostitute. He had sex with the daughter-in-law. That was a bad situation, but this time he is taking a role of the family leader, and he is making initiation. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a better surety than what they had in this family. As a matter of fact, that surety coming from the line of Judah. He is a tribe of Judah. And he is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the one who took our sin. He is the one who took our penalty and died for us so that we may have eternal life in Christ Jesus. If you don't have that surety, you have to wonder why you don't have a surety. You have to wonder why you have been rejecting Jesus Christ from your heart time after time you hear about him. It is my prayer, and it's many people in this room's prayer, that you may not walk out the door without knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let's continue in verse 11. And their father Israel said to them, "If it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best fruit of the land in your vessels and carry down a present for the man, a little balm, a little honey, and spice and myrrh, pistachio nut, and almond. Take the double money in your hand and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was oversight. Take your brothers also and arise, go back to the man. And may God Almighty give you mercy before man, that he may release your brother, other brother, and Benjamin. If I may be bereaved, I am bereaved." grim-faced Jacob is telling him what to do. If you notice, he's not praying to God. He did not say, as a patriarch of this family, he didn't say, let us pray. Let us depend on God, see what he's going to do for us. Instead of that kind of vertical relationship and seeking God's provision, he is looking for the way. He said, take the present with you. Does it ring the bell to you? Last time when he did this, he sent the present before him to his brother Esau, whom he has cheated for a long time. Instead of getting killed, he presented presents so he tried to appease to his brother Esau. He thought maybe he will appease to this Egyptian brother. He will buy the favor so that he may have the Simeon and Benjamin back, preferably Benjamin back. That's why he's taking a double money. Verse 15, and so the man took the present and Benjamin, and they took the double money in their hands, arose, went down to Egypt. They stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw the Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, take this man to my home and slaughter an animal and make ready, for this man will dine with me at noon. Then the man did as Joseph ordered. The man brought the man into Joseph's house. Now the men were all afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, it is because of money which was returned in our sack the first time that we brought it in, so that he may make a case against us and fall upon us to take us as a slave with our donkeys. Remember, Joseph's fearful brother, they have to go back to Egypt. Each step they're taking, and they're anxious. And they're going back to Egypt with awakening conscience. Now they remember vividly what they've done to this brother, so-called brother, and probably they're thinking that he is dead. Now God is taking a revenge on them. These people are panicking, and they're thinking that why this Egyptian official, Egyptian prime minister, is inviting us to the home, and what's the purpose of it? He dealt with them very harshly last time. And they're thinking, okay, maybe he's trying to feed us, and after that, it would be kind of preview of the execution. In ordinary circumstances, having a lunch with the prime minister would be a great privilege. Think with me. If all of you are invited to the White House for dinner with President George W. Bush, would you let your family know about it? Yeah, I would. I would send that email to just about everyone I know. Guys, I'm going having a lunch dinner with George. I'll let you know what it's like. It's 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Just hint. But not now, to these guys. To them is shivering thought. We'll continue in verse 19. Then they drew near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they talked with him at the door of the house, and then said, also, we indeed came down and first time to buy food. But it happened when we came to the encampment, and we opened our sacks, and there each man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight. So we have brought it back in our hand, and we brought down our other money in our hand to buy food. We did not know who put our money in our sacks. But he said, peace be with you, on the line there, please, peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. Then he brought Simeon out to them. Shakespeare said this. This is a great phrase. Suspicion always haunts a guilty mind. Joseph's steward escorted his brothers to Joseph's home. But these brothers, their knees knocking. Why? Because they are already guilty and their suspicion is arising to the maximum. Haunted by fear, and these brothers immediately thinking that we got to plead our innocence to somebody. So they are telling this steward about the situation. If you notice, they are not seeking God, nor their father. But who else is seeking God? Egyptian steward. I'm sure he was influenced by the Joseph. By now, he knows about the God of Hebrew. And he's the one who is communicating this to these people, these 11 brothers, in Hebrew language. And he said, peace be with you. In other words, in Hebrew way, they say, shalom. And in English version, chill out, dude. He's telling them, don't be afraid. A lot of times, we are afraid about the future that we do not know. And we're thinking that it might happen. Something bad will happen to us. Can you do anything about future? Not a thing. Some wise person said this. Past is like a cash check. You cannot do a thing about it. It's just a piece of paper. Past is a past. Don't dwell on it. Future, something you cannot do anything. You cannot change. If you know how to change the future, please let me know so I can buy some stock of which stock should buy from tomorrow. None of us know the future. Only one who knows the future is God. We should depend on God instead of or the psychic hotline or the palm reader. You look at the palm, there's a bunch of lines. Doesn't mean a thing. Okay? When you go like this, you get the wrinkles. That's about as far as it goes. How do I know? Because I came from that kind of culture. Do you know where the palm reading coming from? Orient. Does it mean anything? Absolutely not. It's the wrinkles. If you want the wrinkles, look at the wrinkles. Just look at yourself in the mirror. You'll find them a lot. All right, let's continue in verse 24. So the man brought the men into the Joseph's house, gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave his donkey feed. Then they made a present ready for Joseph's coming at noon. So for they heard that they would eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, bowed down before him to the earth. Then he asked them about their well-being and said, is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive? And they answered, your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive. They bowed down their heads down and prostrate themselves. Then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Can you imagine how these bewildered brothers feel at this point? And they're thinking that, okay, as soon as we go around to this corner, there is going to be the blade chopping our head. And still nothing happened. And there is a food arranged in the buffet table. They're fearing the worst, but continuously Joseph is giving them best. That sounds like what our God would do. While we are still yet sinners, he sent his very best, Jesus Christ our Lord. A lot of times people use God's name in vain. Some of you may still use. I hope you don't. The one less time you use is better for you. Some of you guys know that I'm a chaplain for the Pima County Sheriff Department. I did a ride-along last night. It was an interesting night. And it was actually, whenever I go out, there's nothing happen. I think all the criminals go home. Okay, chaplains here, fear of God went into their heart. Whatever the reason is, nothing happens. They picked up this 17-year-old kid who is drunk as a skunk. You can smell him from the 5 miles down the road. And he was using every bad word in the book. And so is a cop. And I was thinking, I hope you don't do that unless you really want to see God in the bad side. Folks, you do not want to use God's name in vain. Amen. If you have to use God, name, use his name to seek his will, not to cut as a cuss word. You cannot tell God later, I never heard that somebody said it, don't use God's your name bad. You heard now. Verse 30. Now this His heart yearned for his brother. So Joseph made a haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out. And he restrained himself and said, "Serve the bread." So they set him a place by himself and them by themselves, and the Egyptian who ate with him by themselves. Because the Egyptian could not eat food with Hebrews, for that is abomination to the Egyptian. Verse 30, and some of you have a King James Version. And King James Version says, his bowel did yearn upon his brother. In other words, he was longing to hold him and greet him. His heart was deeply moved. So don't think that it was some sort of bowel movement. Joseph did not eat with his brothers or Egyptian people. There is a reason. Ancient Egypt, one of the most racist society, it was recorded in the history. The reason is because they somehow, Egyptians thought that they came from their God, and the rest of the race came from the less origin. The reason why God used this kind of situation is very special. Think with me. When sons of Israel, Jacob's, all of them went to the land of Canaan. And from there, what happened to them? They start to mingle with these people. They start to live with people, and they start to have intermarriage. And God didn't want them to do it that way. For example, Tamar, one of their sisters, was raped. Dinah was raped. And Tamar was also not the Israeli people. So God was trying to isolate them. And God was taking them out of this land of Canaan, put them in Egypt, where the racism is so strong, and they stayed in one area, land of Goshen. There was no intermarriage, and there was no mixing with anyone else except Israeli people. And they multiply up to millions. And next book, we are going to study in some other time, Exodus, we will see God is bringing them out of this Egypt. And, of course, there's some big people who got mixed up with down the road, and they will be the one who is going to extradite these Israeli people to the idols. What am I trying to tell you? If you start to mix your faith in Christ Jesus with something else, some of you are thinking that, well, New Age is so good. They're calming my heart. New Age is from the pit of hell. I don't care what kinds of music they have. New Age is from the pit of hell. Human psychology, worldly psychology is from the pit of hell. Any psychology that tells you that it's not your problem because your mother made you do this or your father made you to treat you this way, that is from the pit of hell. Whatever you do, whatever I do, wrong to God, wrong in the eyes of God, is our decision. Be a man and woman of God. Take a responsibility for your own action. When you do wrong, say, "Sorry, I'm really sorry to God." Ask for His forgiveness, and that is a great start. Don't try to sugarcoat it with this human psychology, because that doesn't help. Here's the wisdom of God that what we just learned. And then we'll continue in verse 33. And they set before him firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. The men looked in astonishment at one another, and he took a serving to them from before him. But Benjamin's serving was five times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with him. Somebody who is intelligent, far more intelligent than I am, calculate this odd. 11 brothers sitting them down according to the oldest, from according to the age. Do you know what the odd is? 39,917,000. You don't choose like that kind of art for just for fun of it. It's hard. Last night I was tumbling, fooling around with the lock. There's a 4-digit. I couldn't even figure out a 4-digit number. Trying to do that with 11 numbers. 39 million odds in one. It's impossible. Obviously, the brother is thinking that this man has the supernatural power, or that he knows far more about us than what we realize. And Joseph destroyed the greater honor for Benjamin and five times more. And none of them resented that this time. And Joseph is watching all of this, and he's going to give one more test to these brothers in the next chapter. This is a picture of God he's doing to us. He sent out his gift while we're still yet sinners. And we can come to God and we're expecting the worst, but he gives us best. He speaks kindly to us in our own language. And we're expecting that God's going to send out his wrath and the anger. Instead of that, he gives us love. And he chooses us, he serves us with the best of his food, the best wheat, the bread of life. So turn your Bible with me to the Isaiah 30, 18, please. Isaiah 30, 18. It's amazing that the one who was rejected by the world worked so hard to get us reunited with him. That's the love of God. Isaiah 30, 18. Therefore, the Lord will wait. Therefore, the Lord will wait. He may be gracious to you. And therefore, he will be exalted. He may have mercy on you, for the Lord is God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. If you wait upon the Lord, and he will give you the love, he will give you the strength. Even though we bring the worst of ours. Let's make application number one. We need to force ourselves to keep the vertical focus on God instead of the things around us horizontally. If you're trying to concoct some sort of plans and some sort of the proposal, instead of praying to God, folks, you're going to fail. It is our tendency to try to do the things with our own hands. It is often our phrase that coming out of our own mouths that we said, the least I can do is pray. Folks, change that. Change the word from the best I can, from the least to the best. So you say, the best I will do is pray to our God Almighty. When you tap into this mighty source, you cannot go wrong. And don't demand him to do the things according to your will. Because as I said before, we do not know the whole picture. If we depend on his will, you cannot go wrong. Second application, we need to remember that our God responds with his grace and peace and love while we don't deserve. Let me ask you this. Do you feel the distance from God? There's a little joke line. Older couple is following this truck in the front of them. And you know how the driver here and the passenger side by side is sitting in the middle so they can sit close to each other. And the wife said, you know, we used to be like that. Wonder what happened. Husband, without taking off his eyes from the front, he said, I haven't moved. He's a driver. Where is he going to go, right? Sometimes guys say so obvious things. Folks, it is not God who moves away from us. Guess who moves? It's us. Somehow we think that we can do better. Can we do better than God? Instead of trying to make things horizontally, let's ask Him. Ask His way. He loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son that we may have eternal life and the life more abundantly. You cannot beat that kind of gift from God. Let's stand up and pray. Men of the Communion Board, come on down, please. As I said before, if you don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, what is the reason why you've been rejecting Him every time you hear from Him? You didn't come here for fun. You didn't come here accidentally. You came here with a divine appointment. Don't reject Him. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head. Don't look around. If you don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, you need Him. You need Him now, today, not tomorrow. You cannot have a true peace. You cannot have a hope for the future. And you're missing out the greatest love that ever offered to the mankind. So if you don't know, and if you have any doubt that you will not go to heaven because you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, your good work, your good behavior will not do anything for your salvation. If you don't know Him, come to know Him by simply raising your hand and make a commitment. Anyone. God bless you. Anyone else? Okay. Including that person, I'm going to ask you, all of you, to repeat after me, please. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I admit that I'm a sinner.
I admit that I'm a sinner.
My sin has separated me from you.
My sin has separated me from you.
But I turn away from my sin.
I
believe that Jesus died for my sins.
I believe that Jesus died for my sins.
And rose from the dead.
And rose from the dead.
So I ask you to be my Savior and Lord.
I ask you to be my Savior and Lord.
And come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And be my God. Pray this in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Welcome to the family of God.